miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Well, thank you for listening today. I'm Joe Galuski, along with Dr. Mike Royce, and our guest is Dr. Majid Fatouhi. He received his medical degree from Harvard Medical School and his doctoral PhD in neuroscience from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He's the founder and chief medical officer of the NeuroExpand Brain Center, and we're about to talk about his book. Dr. Fatouhi's book is called Boost Your Brain, The New Art and Science Behind Enhanced Brain Performance. Thank you for coming on today. So how long does the brain continue to grow, and how long does the brain continue to assimilate information, take in information effectively?
First of all, thank you very much for having me on your show. The important new discovery in our field is that our brain has the capacity to grow at any age. The best time for the brain to grow is obviously during childhood, but people in midlife or even late life can indeed increase their brain size and benefit improved cognitive performance.
Here's Dr. Mike. Let's bring Dr. Mike. Okay, here's Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike.
So, Majid, first of all, I thank you for coming on. You are, as I've said before on the show and as I tweeted earlier, you are the best in this area in the whole world. So I appreciate it. And this is a magnificent, magnificent book. And in fact, as I said, this book may be the most important anyone ever reads, because your brain is what really matters, and it's what differentiates us. The other thing I wanted to, if you will, ask about was the what you call fertilizer for the brain, brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, plays in this.
Yes, there's a compound called BDNF, or brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is very important for healing and rejuvenation in the brain. It has lots of benefits, and recent research shows that we can actually increase levels of BDNF in our brain. You may have heard of runner's high and how enkephalins are induced and released in the brain when people exercise or run for a long time. In the same idea, in the same way, BDNF increases in many different ways, one of which is, and so I think it's important for people to recognize that there are ways they can boost their brain activity by increasing BDNF levels.
Now, when you increase the size of the hippocampus in the brain, do we have good data that that's caused by brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, or are these independent data? And is there anything we can do other than, or what should we do to increase the brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor? I mean, to me, this is exciting. Will it be in a pill form pretty soon, or is it going to always be better to release our own, and how do we release our own?
Yeah, these are excellent questions. Studies have shown that when people exercise, there's a good correlation between increased fitness and increased size of the memory part of the brain, which is called hippocampus. So the more exercise a person does, the bigger the hippocampus gets. And that parallels improved memory. So more exercise, bigger hippocampus, better memory.
Well, how, meaning, is, do you ever hit a maximum on exercise? In other words, when I look at exercise from a longevity standpoint, you get a maximum after about, it's roughly, when you do more than 2 hours in a day, you start to go downhill in longevity. Is that true? I mean, is there a maximum you hit in with hippocampal size, or have we not studied it carefully enough?
Measuring the size of hippocampus and realizing that the size changes is actually something very new. Many studies have shown that some exercise is a lot better than no exercise in terms of improving function and size of hippocampus, and that more exercise, for example, 45 minutes, is better than 15 minutes. But there's no evidence that 2 hours of intense exercise is better than 1 hour. And that has been shown, not necessarily with the BDNF level, but with other measures of brain function. So my recommendation to people is 45 minutes, 3 or 4 days a week. And that would be 30 minutes of aerobic and 50 minutes of resistance training. Now back to BDNF.
Wait, I missed that. So how much a day of aerobic did you say per day or per week?
I reviewed the literature because I wanted to know what is the perfect amount, what is a reasonable amount and scientifically based recommendations that we can make to our patients. And having reviewed the literature, I came up with 45 minutes, 4 days a week, and off that, I would recommend 30 minutes of aerobic exercise and 15 minutes of resistance training. You may have heard of high-intensity interval training or HIIT.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's some evidence that this kind of high-intensity interval training where you do 60 seconds of intense exercise and then 60 seconds of rest and 60 seconds of intense exercise and you do this cycle 5 or 10 times, there are specific benefits that you gain from that as opposed to just doing 10 minutes of regular exercise. And there's at least one study that showed that that part of that kind of training enhances brain function, not necessarily the size of the hippocampus.
Well, I'm glad of that because I do that every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday. I do intervals. So
now
there are also our brain games on TV. Do they release brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, or does stress inhibit it? What do we know about those two and the relative value of those?
Yeah. Now, let's talk about cognitive training and these video games and other types of memory-stimulating games. They have benefits for brain through increasing the number of synapses. Several studies have shown that when, for example, animals learn new games, there are increased number of synapses. And there is also evidence that with increased training and learning, animals have higher levels of BDNF. So, you know, stimulating your brain is another way of increasing levels of BDNF. But my recommendation to people is if you want to have the best memory when you get to your 70s and 80s, then focus on exercises that challenge your memory. For example, I tell my patients and my friends to memorize 3 or 5 names a day. Your hippocampus is the part of the brain that shrinks the most with aging. And one of the best ways to stimulate your hippocampus is actually with memorizing things. So while you can do a video game where you have to go through a path and to watch out so you won't hit the walls, or you have to, you know, navigate through space, those are all good. But if you want to have good memory in the long term, focus on memorized names. So that goes, you know, sort of. So I think that brain stimulation should be targeted to the areas that will have the best benefits in the long term, and memorizing names will be a good way. You know, like these days, we don't memorize phone numbers anymore. In the old days, that was one thing that people used to do. And with the new generation of kids growing up, we don't even teach them to memorize poems or long verses or anything. And I worry that
when we come back, we're going to talk more about the relative roles of memory, that is memorizing things, of brain games that have different functions, such as Twister or ping pong, about intense exercise and stress relief, and which are most important to us if we can only do a few. And then we're also going to talk about other techniques. Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mike, Dr. Majid Fatouhi, his book is called Boost Your Brain. It's published by HarperCollins. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And with our guest, Dr. Majid Fathouhi. His book is called Boost Your Brain, published by HarperCollins. Here again, Dr. Mike Roizen.
And this is Young Dr. Mike. I was asking Dr. Fathouhi in the break, and I thought it was good for all of us, the relative value of physical activity versus meditation or stress relief versus, for example, playing brain games or doing crossword puzzles. And Majid, what do you think the relative value of those things are?
Yes, I think if we were to set a scale in terms of what's most important, what's least important, and give a number to it from 1 to 10, let's say, exercise would be 8 or 9. Stress reduction would be 8. And then eating a healthy diet would be 6. And then doing video games or computer games would be 2. If you have only 30 minutes or 1 hour and you want to do something to keep your brain young, I recommend that you hit the gym. If you're already exercising and that's not an issue, I'll recommend that you work on stress reduction, make sure you get a good night's sleep. Two factors that are really bad for the brain are sleep apnea and insomnia. Both of them are treatable conditions. So if you have those, make sure you take care of those and get a good night's sleep, 7 hours, 8 hours, and to make sure you don't snore at night. If you do, that it's not sleep apnea.
Now, let me go and ask you a couple. We've got a couple questions on the email line, so I want to get these in. And one of them pertains to sleep apnea, and I like the question because it pertains to me, too. That is, I took a red eye the other night. This questioner asked Bob, and he said, the next day I feel lousy because I don't sleep well on the plane. I sleep pretty well on the plane, but I still feel lousy, personally. But Bob says he sleeps lousy on the plane, and he seems to recover his memory and other functions 2 days later, but not immediately. Does he really recover, or how bad does that do?
Yes. If you miss a night of sleep and you don't function well the next day. There's nothing to worry about because it's just an isolated event, unless you travel like some people I know, 200 days a week, 200 days a year. If it's just occasional travels, then that's fine. But it also makes the point that if you can't think clearly and if your memory is not working, you should check to see how well you have been sleeping. I also feel the same way. When I travel, then when I come back home, for a couple of days, I'm not quite back to my usual self yet.
Here's another question. This gets us into diet. Pam writes, a recent book, Grain Brain, by Dr. David Perlmutter, advocates a ketogenic diet extremely low in carbs and high in protein, especially fat. Avocados, coconut oil, God, that's horrible. Olive oil, for example. So at least avocados, walnut oil, olive oil are okay to prevent, and fish oils, to prevent Alzheimer's. What is your opinion of this type of diet for brain health, and how would this type of diet impact heart health and general health? Thank you, Pam.
Yes. The diet I recommend is called Mediterranean diet. This is a diet that is high in fruits and vegetables. It does contain olive oil, one glass of wine, and it is low in carbs. And so I recommend Mediterranean diet. I really like DHA, omega-3 fatty acid, as a supplement. DHA is really the best brain food there is. I take it, and family members take it. So the kind of diet I recommend is a heart-healthy diet, low sodium, low carbs, high in protein, low in red meat, high in fish such as salmon, lots of fruits and vegetables. That's what we do in our own home, Mike. You know, my wife always has lots of fruits and vegetables, fruits on the table. So as we pass, by the table, we just grab an apple or some grapes or a banana or something. And when I go to work, she gives me, a banana for snack and some pistachios. So it's important for people to have common sense. Just have things that you know are good for you. I don't necessarily recommend extremes of such as going to a ketogenic diet. We use that at extreme cases for example, kids who have epilepsy, but I wouldn't recommend that to...
Okay, so that brings up fish oils, DHA, and flavonoids, and lutein and zeaxanthine. Anything in those? And forgive me for asking some things that I know the answers to because I did read the book, but go ahead and talk about them.
Yes. So flavonoids are excellent. There are about 1,000 different flavonoids, but these are usual fruits and vegetables that we routinely talk about and eat. You know, some of the things that I recommend, and it's on page 91 of my book, are beets because they're also high in folate and nitrite. We have other blueberries that are good, but pomegranate is actually a good source of vitamins, such as vitamin C and vitamin K. Oysters are good in terms of having a lot of minerals. Quinoa is one of my favorites. Instead of rice, I use quinoa, and it's much lower in carb and high in protein. Canola oil, I recommend, and that's my favorite pistachios. And if you want to take a little snack or get a drink for an afternoon, I recommend herbal tea. Theanine and EGCG is also very good.
Why not my old favorite, black coffee? Is that wrong?
Yes, Mike. My recommendation for coffee is one or maximum two cups of coffee a day. Many studies have shown...
Oh, man, that's done before I'm awake.
Several studies have looked at people who drink coffee versus don't. On an average, people who do drink coffee have better outcomes in the long term versus those who don't drink at all. However, caffeine increases your heart rate, and it does stimulate you. And so while it's good for you, I would not recommend to drink one cup an hour. Instead, my recommendation would be one cup in the morning and then maybe a cup of tea in the afternoon. This is not sort of the same level of recommendation as exercise. You know, again, to put things in perspective, and I think it's very important that people put things in perspective. And in my book, I have made it like a brain meter. And for every recommendation, we have it on a brain meter so people can put things in perspective. What's the most important? What's the least important? So drinking a glass of wine...
There's a quick question I want to get in, if you will, on nitrates. Sure. On nitrites. Are nitrites good because they dilate the blood vessels or for other reasons?
Yes, they increase... They relax the walls of the blood vessels and increase blood flow to the brain.
The book, a great book, Boost Your Brain by Fatui, F-O-T-U-H-I. Majid has been on. We have to have you back on again. This is You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.